Hey, thanks for the introduction. Yes, today, thanks for being here. I will be presenting some management practices to close yield gaps. This is part of my main research as a PhD candidate at K-State under the direction of Dr. Ciampiri. So going through the presentation, we know and we saw this morning through different talks that combination of different management practices will allow us to have to construct that yield in our fields. We talk about planting, varieties, row spacing, inoculation, tillage practices will affect that. Seeding rate, of course, nutritional programs that we adapt in our fields. So this combination will give us different yield levels. Okay. So what we are trying to do in this research is try to see what is the best combination of management practices, and we are not going into individual management, but we talk about systems. And we're trying to intensify the production to see if we can increase yields and then close yield gaps, okay? So the research question, as I mentioned before, is which one will be the best combination of those management practices to close yield gaps? And in addition, which will be the effect of those management, not only in the soybean, but also looking at the rotation and on the fertilizer efficiency, just to take a look more deep understand of what is going on besides taking just a look of the soybean yields, but looking at the rotation. So the objective of this study was to study the contribution of each of those management systems that we tested for developing high yielding soybean systems. And also we tried to implement some modeling in this research to see if we can better understand the long-term effect of those practices that we are testing, okay? So going through materials and methods, we have one experiment in Scandia, Kansas, northern central region of Kansas, under irrigation and rainfall conditions. And we have basically five management systems that you can see here in the screen. So one thing that I didn't mention is a corn-soybean rotation, and we have both phases present the same year. So we started in 2014 with a corn and a soybean field in dryland and irrigated, and we started a rotation in 2014. And we did 14, 15, and 16. As you move here in the treatments, 1 to 5, number one is what we call common practices, and as you move to your right, you will have what we call we are intensifying the system. Treatment number two is the same than one, but what we did is we follow university recommendations for fertilizer. Treatment number three, what we did is we narrow spacing and we increase population, but without adding any fertilizer. Treatment 4 is basically the combination of 2 and 3, so we increase population, we narrow spacing, and we adopt a balanced nutrition program with fertilizer application. And treatment number 5 basically is the same than 4, but we went 2 times with fungicide, macronutrients, and insecticides. Okay, so I have there the numbers for you to take, and I also have the coding in the bottom part of the slide. Well, what we measure through the system is the canopy coverage by imagery, of course, yields. And I will be presenting here the partial factor productivity of the fertilizers. That is the ratio between yields and the fertilizer applied. Okay, and then we conducted some long-term simulation using AppSim. It's a pretty easy model to set up and try to take a look to this long-term effect. We also, through this research, we took a look to the nutrient content and concentration through the season, and we did measure biological nitrogen fixation, but I will not be presenting those results today. Okay. So going directly to the results, we have here a picture in your left, what that's common practices under irrigation conditions, and number the treatment in the right is ecological intensification, treatment number 4. And what we did here, we took a picture of the rows, and you can see the wider row spacing and the narrow row spacing. This is before in Scandia 2014. And for the imagery analysis, we can tell that the common practice was early in the season was having 42% of canopy coverage, and the late ecological intensification on the same day was having 66%. So we were at the same time in the season, we increased the light interception, and for sure that will be related with more biomass production and will impact our yields. So one of the things that we conclude here is that best management practices that can increase the light harvest early in the season will help us to close that yield gap. Going directly to results, what we are presenting here is soybean yields from 2004, 14 to 16 is the average for three seasons since we didn't have interaction between them. And this is for rainfield conditions. What you have in the x-axis is the treatments, and in the y-axis the seed yields in megagrams per hectare. And we can see here, we conducted some ANOVA analysis with an alpha LFP 0.05, and we did find differences between what we call the most intensified treatments, and treatment 1 that was common practices, and treatment 2 that was same than 1 but with application of a balanced nutrition program. Average yield was 4 tons here and 3 tons for the for this grouping factor. So as we narrow row space in these treatments and we increase population, we did find impact in yields. But let's take a look to what happened under irrigation conditions, and I put over the bars the treatments so you can follow me. And we did find, again, for the most intensifying treatments, an increase in yields, and we reached up to 5.7 tons for treatment 4 and 5. So remember that 4 is combination of 2 and 3. So we narrow spacing, we increase our population, and we follow a balanced nutrition program to accomplish more yields. And then we have, in second, after following that, we have the intensifying but not applying nutrients, that is treatment number 3. Following that number 2, so here we are seeing some responses to the application of nutrients. Okay. So what we can say here, then, irrigation increased yield significantly. We were going from around 3.5 average for rainfed conditions to 4.5, the average for irrigated conditions. Narrow row spacings and increasing seeding rate with a balanced fertilizer program did increase and impact yields and allowed to close that gap. And there was no effect for P, K, and S for soybean under the rainfield condition, but we did find effects in the irrigated conditions. One thing that is important, I mentioned at the beginning of my talk, is that we need to take a look not only to the soybean yields, but also to what happened affecting the rotations. And I mentioned at the beginning that we have both phases present each year. And I did a little graph here on top, your top right, that is saving on top of the soybean that was harvested in 2015, we put corn in 2014, we put corn in 15, and so on the next year. So what I am presenting here is the soybean yield for average for these two seasons, 14 and 15, and what happened with the corn that was going on top of those plots. So what we did, we marked those plots, and we came back with RTK next year. We put the plots on top of the same location, and we did apply the same treatments to the corn to see the effect of the different treatments. And I pointed here treatment 2 and 3 because the idea is to show you that under in soybeans, under irrigated conditions for 2014 and 15, as I showed before, we find differences between more intensifying treatments like treatment 3 with 2, so there was no response to fertilization here. But when we are going to the corn, we are seeing that treatment 2 that was fertilized in soybean did increase yields, and treatment 3 yields for corn was penalized, okay, on top of that soybean, that treatment 3 that was non-fertilized but did increase yields, okay? So the conclusion here is that unfertilized treatments with what we call intensification penalize corn yields in the rotation. That's clearly seen here in this picture. So in the plots that soybean was yielding 4.3 tons but no response to fertilizer, corn yielded up to 16.3 megagrams per hectare. Okay. The third result or topic that we want to point it out, but beside the productivity of soybean and the effect in corn, is what happened with the efficiency, for example, of the fertilizer that we applied. So for that, we analyzed the partial factor productivity of fertilizers, and for treatment 2, remember, is application of fertilization, and treatment 4, that was the most intensified system, we did find differences in irrigation and rainfield. We produced 15.7 kilograms of seeds per kilogram of fertilizer applied in treatment 2 compared to 19.1 under irrigation for treatment 4. Okay, so each kilogram of fertilizer applied in treatment 4 produced 22 and 28 more seed per kilogram of fertilizer applied. So we increase soybean yields, we have effect in corn, and the efficiency of the fertilizer supply was higher under intensified systems. Finally, what we did is we run some absinthe simulation. We calibrate the absinthe with all the biomass sampling that we did in the in these experiments, and we run some long-term simulations simulating in the model what is common practices and what is intensifying system, that is number four. So what you see here is a box plot for 1980s to 2016, and those red dots are the average yield for 2014 and 16. So we are between the prediction of the model. And in ecological intensification, we are seeing that long-term simulations are showing clearly differences in productivity between common practices and intensification, and also between dryland and irrigated conditions. Okay, so modeling can help us to predict the effect of management systems. That's the key message that we want to take from here. So what are some of the conclusions that we have through this project? Is that intensified system increase yields. The rotation effect, we show some rotation effect, and an integrated approach is needed for closing yield gaps. Okay, not just taking a look to soybean, but what happened with the crops in the rotation. The partial factor productivity of fertilizer was increased with intensification. And finally, that modeling can provide guidance and assistance when selecting best management practices. Okay, with that, I would like to acknowledge my research team, the research funding, IBNI, Fulbright, and thanks for your attention. I will be glad to take any question.
We got time for questions.
Yep. Would your extra cost with this intensification cover the yield benefit from the problem, or have you done any economic analysis?
Yeah, the question, thanks for the question, was if this increase in yields will cover the extra cost that we have for adding intensifying this system. I mean, what's out of the scope of this presentation? But we did some result analysis, and at some point we'll cover, it will depend on the yield, but for the great impact that we have in soybeans specifically, and we were mentioning about, for example, narrow row spacing, it's around $15 to $16 only to narrow rows. Going to the population, we know that for soybeans, we did conduct some population study beside this in this site, but we did not find effect there. So we believe that yet. I'm not presenting here, but yeah. Any other question?
In terms of your crop rotation and effect, again, a little bit on the corn, but what was the soil test levels after the soybean that led into that corn?
Okay, so the question was, what are the soil test values of the soil that was going to that corn? And the answer for that is, so the soil, the P level were about 33 parts per million, and organic matter for that field was 2.8. But
so then yeah. After the fertilized, unfertilized on the soybean yield effects, and then going into the corn that had the greater yield, was it a fact that you actually had higher soil test levels in that treatment too?
So the question is, if after that soybean in the corn we did find differences, we did not find, the answer for that is we did not find any important difference. We still have we're conducting now the sampling for the last year to see 3 years. It's really short term to really find effects, important effects, but we did conduct we will conduct now the last sampling to see the 3 years effect. It still will be really short to see an important effect, but yeah, thanks for your question.
Any more questions? All right, thanks, Steve.